Good morning. Be mindful that our teens are away on their spring break trip, so be praying for them. I appreciate Keith and Janine and all they do for our young people, and so we want to keep them in our prayers. We definitely miss them this morning. Today I want us to think about parenting and have a brief video that you may be able to relate to if you're a parent. A parent and you would aspire to be one in the future, that's pretty much what it's like, isn't it? If you're not a parent, I want you to stay with us today in this lesson, because the lesson is about our children, and we all care about our children. And think of this as a church family and in other ways, but just as a church family, our young people are important to us. Our children are important. And so stay with us this morning. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And the message is, it is a blessing to be a parent. It is a blessing. We all have love and care for young people as they grow up. We want the best for them. We want them to be guided in the best way. You could make the argument that parenting is the most important job we have. Now, while it's true that if you're married, your spouse is primary. Your spouse is above other relationships because they are the one that you are to be one with. Scripture says the two become one. They are the one that you are to grow old with. However, there are other responsibilities we have. We have responsibility to take care of aging parents, to help the poor, to be good neighbors, to be good employees, to be good employers. But no job you have has the responsibility or purpose of guiding an eternal soul to heaven like raising a child. It is an important job. Psalm 139, verse 13. I love this passage. It's God speaking about us. David says, "You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed in me, when as yet there was none of them." When a child is conceived, God knows it. God is a part of it. God understands. God gives life. Children are a blessing to us, and God is the author. And the point here is that God knew your child before you knew them. And God had hopes and dreams and plans for our children that are far above our own. And so that puts a responsibility on us, because we're raising our children, but we're raising God's creation. They're God's child above our own child. So let me ask you this question. How did you learn to parent? How did you learn to parent? You may have read a book on parenting, but that's not how most of us have learned to parent. If you did, you learned that from someone who was not a perfect parent. The truth is, we tend to parent like we were parented. Right? We tend to parent like we were parented. And some, so you'll do a lot of things as a parent that were, that's because how your parents raised you. There will be some that you do that's the opposite. You'll find something in your own parent, in your, the way your parents raised you, you'll say, we're going to go the opposite way. My mother, when she was growing up, her and R.W. and their sister, Cammie, when they were growing up, my grandmother never liked long bangs in a child's eyes. She didn't like where you can't see a kid's eyes. And so when my mom growing up and her siblings, their bangs were always short. I mean short, too short, right? And my mom didn't like that. And so what do you think she did with her kids? Here's a good picture of these three lovely souls. Look at those bangs, right? That one on the left is particularly cute. Look at him. Isn't that something? We sometimes will do the opposite of what our parents have done. If I ask the question, who here had perfect parents? No one should raise their hand. Okay? Now, we love our parents. That's our affection for our parents. We're grateful to our parents. But none of us have perfect parents. The perfect guide to parenting comes from the perfect God. Okay? And so, just a reminder of what you already knew, but this is the parenting guide here. This is the perfect parenting guide. None of us had the perfect upbringing. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Here's a principle. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a great principle. It's making the point of how valuable those impressions are when children are young. This scripture is not saying that you can guarantee your child go to heaven. If you raise them right, they'll guarantee to go to heaven. It's not saying that, because as a child becomes an adult, of course, they have free will. And a child may or may not choose God and to be faithful to God. But this scripture is telling us a very true principle, and that is, as parents, we have a powerful influence on our children, even to their older years as an adult. Our influence will still be there. And I want to make this point. If you have a child that has chosen to steer away from God, if you're a grown child, or a child of age where they're turning away from God or have turned away from God, what's the message for you as a parent? The message is pray. The message is pray and keep praying. Because there are a number of souls who were not faithful to God when they were young, or maybe they were, but they veered off. There are a number of you that veered off at some point in your life, but you came back. And so as parents, pray. Don't ever discount the power of prayer for our children. I want us to walk out of here with four principles from Scripture in how we parent. Things to help us as parents and grandparents. And the first one is, we need to guide with our example. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." What if our children obeyed all that we did and not just all that we said? What if they obeyed all that we did and not just all that we said? Or as grandparents, what if your grandchildren followed all that you did, not just all that you taught them? An example, and I'll give you a confession with my our family dog, Leon, this Yorkshire Terrier. I don't always talk right to him. That's my confession. Sometimes I talk hateful to that dog. I do. I get irritated with him. I try to keep my cool. I'm amazed at that parent orangutan, how patient that parent was. Isn't that something? Whew, I'm pretty good with Leon a lot of the time, but sometimes I don't do good. And then I'll hear Sydney or Abby talk hateful to him. And I'll tell them, hey, slow down, take a deep breath, be patient with him, talk right to him, be in control, and they'll be doing what I do, what they see me do. What if our kids did as we do and not just what we tell them to do? Here's the truth. Parents, sometimes we do things we do not let our kids do, and they're things that we really shouldn't do, and I'll give you some examples. We may yell at our children. We don't let them yell. We may cuss. We shouldn't. We don't let our child cuss. We may slam a door or throw things in anger. We may talk disrespectful to them. We don't let them talk disrespectful to us. Let me pause there for a second. Now that may not sound right. Hey, they're my child. They are supposed to respect me. I'm not supposed to respect them. Well, I don't believe that's quite right. Love is patient. Love is kind. Do to others as you'd have them to do to you. We're trying to model behavior for our children to be trained, to learn. As a parent, I can correct them. I can get their attention. I can control them. And I can do that and still be respectful. Can I not? Do I have to be disrespectful to control my child or parent them? So sometimes we'll do things like that. We'll be unkind. And here's the reason. We'll do things that we don't allow them to do, but we'll do them. And the only reason is there's not someone bigger than us to tell us to stop it. And my point is, as parents, we're not always right. We color outside the lines. Sometimes we let our emotions get the best of us. And as parents, we may do something and we tell the child, you don't do it. And we say, and they say, well, you do it, Mom. You do it, Dad. And we say, well, I'm the parent. And I'm saying a lot of times as parents, hey, we need to hold this book. We need to apply this to our heart. And we need to consider, maybe my kid is right. I'm not saying kids correct your parents. Kids obey your parents. I'm saying we need God to correct us sometimes. As parents, we need God to get a hold of us and say, hey, quit that. Quit that. And so guide with our example. We want our kids to follow what we teach them. We want our kids to follow what we do. And we want that to be the right example. The fact is, sometimes our kids, you know, they lose control. We get on to them. They lose their temper. We get on to them. What about when we lose control? And my point is, sometimes we expect a child to do what I can't even do as an adult. I cannot bat 1,000 as an adult. Sometimes I mess up. And as parents, I think it is godly and wise for us to admit our faults when it's appropriate to our child. To say, hey, yesterday I lost it. And that's bad on me. And I want you to know that. All right, number two, guide with discipline. We have a number of passages on discipline. Colossians 3:18, and we talked about this last week. You ever notice how Scripture speaks directly sometimes to our weaknesses and what we need? Yeah, I think this one does that. Verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. I think each one of those, God is saying, hey, you're probably going to struggle with this, so work on it. Wives, it's not natural to submit. That takes work. Husbands, it's not natural to put your wife's needs above your own. And sometimes, husbands, it's very natural for us to be too harsh. Children, it's not natural to obey. It's natural to rebel and do what you want. It's not natural to obey. Children, you're going to have to work on that. Fathers, sometimes when you discipline your children, you have the tendency to be too harsh. Dads, we have the tendency to be too hard. And in doing so, we can think, well, it's shame on my kid for not obeying me better. And sometimes, fathers, we're partly at fault because we're too harsh. And it's also true that sometimes we can be inconsistent. As a parent, if my kid doesn't clean the room, I don't say anything. They don't clean the room, I don't say anything. They don't clean the room, and then the fourth day, I blow up on them. I'm partly to blame here because I'm not being consistent in how I'm parenting them. But here's another one that goes along with it. Ephesians 6:1, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As parents, it is difficult sometimes to discipline. Hebrews tells us, and this is the same Greek word that we see translated in Ephesians 6:4. The word translated discipline is the same word here in Hebrews, which is talking about God disciplining us. And it says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful. Same Greek word. It's not always easy to discipline our children, but we do it because of what it yields. As parents, you have seen when you let your child get by with too much because you're taking the easy road as a parent, you pay for it later. And the more and better consistently we provide discipline for our children, it yields great results in their life. In fact, this is a stronger way to say it, but look at the next verse, Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. Now, and we have a couple passages here about using the rod. And the point is, discipline is painful. If I'm trying to correct my child in a way of punishment, and whether we're talking about spatting their behind, whether we're talking about grounding them, putting them in timeout, whatever we're doing, whatever form we're using, they don't like it. They are not happy with mom and dad. And that's hard as a parent. But that's how we train our children. And so we need to understand a couple things here. The fact that when we discipline a child, it's not enjoyable for them. And yet we also, you know, understand, I'm not saying that we should injure or harm our children. And I choose those two words. I agree with that. It's also how the state defines child abuse, injuring or harming. Because when I'm punishing my child, I'm not trying to injure them. I'm not trying to harm them. I'm trying to correct them. I'm trying to teach them. And as parents and fathers, maybe even more so, maybe, often, typically, fathers, we need to have control of ourselves or we will go too far with our children. We want to guide our children, and we want to guide them to their purpose. The fact is, Ephesians 2:10, look at this, says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." When we raise our children, sometimes you feel like the video. You're just trying to keep this kid from killing themselves, or, you know what I mean, wandering off where you can't see him. You're just trying to protect him and raise him and keep him alive. But our real goal, two goals, and the last one's even more important, but this one here, our goal is to raise this child so they will fulfill the purpose that God created them for. Why did God create your child? He created them, this verse tells us, for good works, to serve in the kingdom. This is a reason I love LTC, because LTC is an organized way for us to help our children learn not how to make a living, in life, not for a career. This isn't about that. This is about spiritual learning in the kingdom, how our child can serve in the kingdom. That's why God made them. That's our purpose. It's kind of a different thought to think about your child having a purpose that God gave them from God's perspective. So we each, as parents, we have hopes and dreams for our children. We may have hopes and dreams that are just earthly. I would like for them to be great at this sport or that sport, or to be great and succeed and excel above their peers academically or some other way. We have hopes and dreams. But what are God's hopes and dreams for our children, our grandchildren? What is God wanting them to do in their future? And I love the fact that LTC and through other means, we help our children find what they're good at in the kingdom. Because that's when their life will really have purpose and meaning, when they're serving God in the kingdom. Number four, and this is our number one job with our children. Our number one job is guiding them to heaven. Yeah. Isn't it? Above all, this is what it's about as a parent. I want to guide my child to heaven above all things. So Deuteronomy, I think this is the idea here in Deuteronomy. This is New Century Version. It says, "Always remember these commands I give you today. Teach them to your children and talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them down." Write them down. This is like, when you're in a class and the teacher says, "Students, you're going to need to write this down. Get your pens out. Get your pencil out. Get your paper out. You're going to write this down." This is what God's saying. Tie them on your hands as a sign. Tie them on your foreheads to remind you. Write them on your doors and your gates. Why is it so important? because eternal souls are at stake. That's what we're doing in parenting. When you bring your children to class at church, that's what you're doing. Now, your bonus as a parent is you get 45 minutes of free child care. That's what you get as a parent. That's your bonus. Right? Come in a class, an adult class, learn in an adult class. But your child, what are they doing? They're taking another step toward heaven. That's why it's important. That's our job above all. If you help guide your child to heaven, and when you're in heaven for eternity, they're there with you. What else matters? What else matters? Joshua 24, this was our scripture reading. This is at the end of Joshua's life. He was a great leader of the Israelites. Succeeded Moses. This is Joshua's pep talk. He's pretty good pre-game, post-game. This is the pep talk. Therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Incidentally, toward the end of Solomon's life, he came to the same conclusion. Fear God, keep His commandments. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Incidentally, Joshua's not really telling them, hey, go ahead and serve those other gods if you want to. He's using sarcasm. He's making this powerful point. He says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I love it. It's powerful. It makes a very clear point. And think about this for a minute. Some, growing up, will not be active in church. Some people as adults, they are not active in church because they were made to go to church as children. Some are active because they were made to go, and some are active and they never went as children. And here's my point. It is a cop-out for adults to blame their lack of faith and commitment to God on their parents making them go. Sometimes we hear someone say, you know, I'm not big on, you know, church or religion. I got burned out on that. My parents made me do that as a child, and I'm not about it now. And as parents, we might struggle, and we might think, well, should I? What if my kid doesn't want to go when they're a teenager? Should I make them? Am I forcing my religion on them? Am I shoving it down their throat in a way that they're going to rebel because of that? Maybe I should let them choose. My point is this. I know some who are a faithful Christian today, and this is their words, not mine. They say, because my parents made me go. They didn't like it at the time, but it yielded fruit. They look back and they say, you know what? I'm glad they made me go. I know some that are not faithful and they say, well, my parents made me go. I'm not faithful. I know some that are faithful and they say, I never darkened the door growing up. Here's the deal. We have to be responsible for our own choices as adults, but I definitely disagree with this idea that if you make your kids go as a child, you're forcing religion on them. Here's what you're doing. The house is on fire. Here's the exit. Go. That's what I'm doing as a parent. This is when, as a parent, you say, get in the car, we're going to school. Get in the car, we're going to the doctor. You're going to your doctor's appointment. Get in the car, you're going to the dentist. Get in the car, you're going to church. Here's my question. Why would you let your kids choose not to go to one of those and it be church? I'd rather not go to the dentist and their teeth fall out. I want them to go to heaven. And I'm going to guide this child to heaven. And if you choose to rebel as an adult against Almighty God, you'll do it without my blessing. I will pray for you that you come back. But as for me and my house, I love this scripture. Joshua didn't say, as for me and whoever in my house wants to follow God, you know, I mean, I'll give them their own choice. No, he says, as for me and my house, I can vouch for that. And we're going to serve God. And those kids in Joshua's house, I'm sure the ones, if they wanted to rebel, they would do it without Joshua's blessing. Just a reminder this morning, parenting is not easy. Pray for the ones raising their kids right now, church. Pray for them. Pray for them and future ones raising children. We have some babies. We have some about to be born. What a joy and what an honor to raise a soul and guide them to heaven. We're going to sing a song. I love this song, Pierce My Ear. And it's this song is about a commitment to God. God, it goes back to a time of slavery when a slave could choose to stay with their master. And this is a song about, God, I commit my life to you. And this is our goal for our own children. I don't think we can have a joy greater than to see our own child commit to God. God, you take my life. It's yours. And so during this song, if there's something on your heart that we can help you with, pray for you, help someone become a Christian this morning. If there's something you need, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
Hear my ear, O Lord.